And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to Friday, February 19th, date of recording. Michael is very tired. This is Nerdy Notions with Sasha Kaplan.
Thanks, we continue Michael.
This run through for
so
one of
just to clarify, he's tired and I'm just like not okay in general, especially after this episode. And we're also
but here's the thing, like I'm usually high energy for these episodes, just like you are. I'm not high energy.
Fangirl hyper for these episodes, but this episode was just like a gut punch. So my like chest is all tight and I'm just like, oh God, don't hurt me.
And I'm just like, I'm really tired. Can we just get through this already, please?
Yeah, right.
That's why I'm letting people
other podcast later tonight.
I know. That's why I'm. That's why I feel so tortured.
It's gonna be a long night, but it's gonna be a lot of fun. So let's get into this, so we can let Michael take a little nappy poo between takes and podcasts. My first note here, the episode is called Breaking the Fourth Wall, but my first note is I wish the episodes were longer. I know I said that last week, but I'm like, I need the episodes to be longer. Like the last two episodes should just be like a 2-hour movie. Like,
which is weird because they said that the last three, according to Kevin Feige, the last three episodes were supposed to be an hour long each. And this episode was 35 minutes.
Maybe it was a glitch, and maybe, you know what, it's possible they made some changes in post-production and the last two episodes are actually going to be even longer, because based off, what was it, MCU, the direct actually did a breakdown of how long every episode was per how long they said WandaVision was supposed to be as a whole, and I think it was like 145 minutes. So if you take 140, something around 145 minutes and divide that by three, that's about 48 minutes. This episode clocked in at around 36?
35, according to IMDb.
I think it was 36. So if you subtract 36 from 145, I can do math, you get 109. So that is almost an hour and a half long movie. So I don't know what's going on, but these last two episodes will hopefully be around 45-ish, 50 minutes long.
I think what's going to end up happening, and we're going to find this out next week, but they're probably going to make it where the last episode is like a 2-hour series finale.
I'm okay with that. It'll give us a whole slew of things to dissect, and it's going to be insane. And I'm gonna love it, and it's gonna be crazy, and I will enjoy it. And yes, I know, Mike, my face disappeared from your view for a moment. You poor thing, you suffered so much without seeing this lovely face. Anyway, but let's get into this episode. So first and foremost, we need to talk about Grey Delisle. Mostly because she's fabulous, but because once again, she gives her hilarious voice, her beautiful voice, her wonderful voice to doing the voiceovers for the commercials. We mentioned this last week, but I got to scare the ever-loving crap out of my brother at GalaxyCon, because I ended up FaceTiming my brother right as I was standing next to Gray, and she just puts on her Azula voice, and you see my brother's face going, I'm talking to Gray Delisle. Like, I felt very proud, and she's just like a sweet person, and I'm so glad I got to meet her.
I got to sit at a panel table with her and moderate her panel at AwesomeCon.
That's next on my list. I want to moderate.
She told me that anytime I want, I can get a free photo, and I still need to take her up on that.
Yes, you should. All right. Aside from Delisle, let's talk about the fact this episode opens with Wanda in bed. And she's wearing the outfit from last night, which is her leotard and tights. And she's not doing too hot. She, also there's like hexagons all over her bed and like all over the living room. So we're keeping the trend up. But Wanda is also doing this modern family shtick of talking to the camera. And Mike and I were talking before we started, and we both freely admit we don't like Modern Family.
It
First of all, I don't
literally
like
one of the worst shows ever made. And people like the rag on Friends and Seinfeld, but I actually like watching Seinfeld and Friends.
Friends is like okay. Like
Friends is an okay show. Seinfeld is an okay show, but at least those two shows, you can actually watch them.
Yeah, so I've seen a couple episodes of Modern Family, and first, I had the same problem with it that I have with The Office. I hate it when people talk to the camera. Like, this is how not to fourth wall break. It's different when it's one thing when a character like Deadpool does it, because it's funny because he's the only one that does it.
And not only that, but Deadpool is written that way.
Right. And like with Mel Brooks movies, when characters break the fourth wall, it's done in a very specific way that's funny and is sort of meta. Like when in Spaceballs, when Colonel Sanders and Lord Helmet are reviewing the video, it says, how can we have the video? And it's a skewed fourth wall break moment when they're watching the movie now. Or
Robin Hood Men in Tights. In
Blazing Saddles, when the fourth wall literally just keels over and opens up the path forward. Right?
Robin Hood Men in Tights. I lost. Pulls out the script, starts reading the script.
Right? But this is the thing with shows like The Office and Modern Family. They don't know how to fourth wall break. And I like the fact that we got to see some lamentation from Wanda. So I didn't mind it here for the most part, but that's because it wasn't a thing throughout the entire show. And it didn't necessarily take away, it added a lot. So that being aside, I think it's interesting that, so Wanda is talking, we see her talking to the camera about how she's not doing okay. She's taking like a self-quarantine day and like not gonna talk to anybody, and that's gonna show her. Billy and Tommy run into the room when Wanda's like still, she's like she's having her like closed eyes day, and they're like, mommy, there's something happening with our toys, and they're like playing video games, and the video game controllers keep changing, which was hilarious, until like, so it went through like different like video game controllers, and then just ended with like Uno cards, which was funny. Kudos to the kids playing Billy and Tommy, because they are doing such an amazing job. I really get a feel for the characters' personalities. I think the acting is good. Billy tries to tell his mom also that like, hey mom, I have a headache and I'm hearing voices in my head. She's like, I'm taking a nap, which I think really personifies that Wanda is not all there. Like she has depression, which is actually something that Billy actually has issues with in the comics as well. So it's interesting seeing this brought up, even though it's never officially stated, sort of, until we get to the commercial. But then we have this like Wanda theme where it's like Wanda, what different ways Wanda is written. And then the Vision part is sort of like chucked on at the end.
If I think right, I think that was set up as The Office.
I have no idea. Probably.
I mean,
But what's interesting here is that there's two things I have to say, because somebody will say, I forgot to mention it. One of them is the license plate. This is Wanda on it. It says it's like 12/28/22 is the numbers on top of the license plate above the name Wanda. That is Stan Lee's birthday. There, it's out of the way. We said it. Let's move on. The one that's more important is the one that says, I know what you're doing, Wanda. And it's like one of those like ransom note style things, and it looks weird. And so for, it's also the first theme that we have that doesn't have any lyrics to it. There's a reason for that. And then there's like this spooky kind of woo music towards the end. So at the Sword Outpost, which is 8 miles outside of the barrier, we see that, Stupid Face is getting ready to mobilize and move out. But he's told that Wanda is no longer broadcasting, which given what we find out at the end of this episode, makes me wonder if she was the one broadcasting in the first place. So Sword is launching a team today, and then Vision wakes up right by a circus, and he seems completely unharmed based off everything that we saw in the previous episode, which, whew, one panic over. He sees Darcy, who is an escape artist. And she's got chains and she just like breaks them casually. Like, first of all, kudos. First of all, if I remember correctly, Harry Houdini was Jewish. So, and so is Darcy's actress. I'm gonna find these Jewish shenanigans wherever I can, because I am desperate for representation. So Darcy, Vision tries to like, hey, you're that girl from outside the barrier. And she thinks he's hitting on her, which I thought was actually really funny. And then she just like breaks the chains and it looks pretty cool. She just like casually breaks out of them. What's actually even funnier is that jerky agent who wouldn't get her a cup of coffee is the strong man at the circus. And then Darcy has this jokey moment, which is like, I actually auditioned to play the part of the bearded lady, but my skin, like, it didn't work out. So it was actually very funny. It was kind of endearing. We find out that Vision is missing and Wanda's like, oh, I'm not going to like, do you know where your father is? And Spencer like, nope. You going to look for him? Nope. And we just sort of move on. Also, what's funny is that Wanda is eating cereal that is like, what was it called?
Sugar
snaps. It's funny for two reasons. One, because this is now the third rainbow we have seen in the show. There's been three rainbows in every episode that the twins have appeared in. There's been three episodes and we've had three rainbows. The first one was a kid's drawing. The second one was on the fridge in last week's episode next to Agatha raiding their fridge. And the third episode was on the cereal box. One's a coincidence, two's a pattern. So there's been a lot of rainbows. I guess Disney would like to really hammer it in, like, yes, we remember they're gay. Well, gay and bisexual. We'll see how well that translates later on. But the other reason that it's funny is because, you know, the snap. So West, I have a note here that says Westview weather. The weather's really interesting. It's like 75 to 68 degrees every day, but the low is always like 45. So I'm guessing WandaVision takes place, it's basically summer in New England, but it takes place in New Jersey, which is funny. Unless it's a hint at like Colorado or like Colorado weather, but I don't know what Colorado weather is like at night. So I don't know, but there's a reason why I bring up Colorado specifically. Anyway, so we find out that Wanda says, Billy says something about Uncle P and Wanda's like, don't listen to him. He's not your uncle. I'm like, oh, okay. That's confirmation. But she doesn't know who he is. And then she kind of goes into this whole everything is meaningless shtick, which I'm like, don't tell them that they're 12. I mean, I know it's a depression. I know she's suffering from depression and I get that, but it's like my innate Jewish mother is like, don't tell children that. What are you doing? So Agnes arrives at despicably perfect timing and she just continues being weird and creepy. And Wanda's like, yeah, take the boys. And I'm like, no, don't take the boys. And she's like, go with Agatha. I'm like, Agnes, don't go with Agnes. What are you doing? I had a gut feeling. I had a feeling. Anyway, as we see, as Wanda's sort of maneuvering through the house and like sitting in the living room, things keep changing in the house. Like she grabs a glass of almond milk that turns into like a regular carton of milk and things like that. The couch change. We see the stork again with the red puffy smoke that she couldn't unpoof from the third episode. And then she tries to revert everything back. But I think because Wanda, and this is something I think you and I talked about last episode, is like because Wanda expanded the barrier, she can no longer hold it and the reality within it the same way she did before. So then Wu and Monica arrive at a compound where they are meeting the contact, who is not an aerospace engineer. As far as I can tell, it's somebody named Major Goodner, which no idea what that's supposed to be an Easter egg for at all, if anything. I think it's just an original character, but there's a connection between Monica and then this Major and Maria. And she's like, my mother would appreciate your loyalty. And the Major's like, well, she's not the only person we're loyal to. So they hate Hayward too.
And it just keeps building to somebody else that's working with Monica. Like that's the thing, like whoever created that tech like they're not being shown yet, and there's a reason they're not being shown yet.
And I think this is the character that everybody has been hinting at. Paul Bettany has been hinting at this actor that he's been dying to work with for a long time. And Deanna Paris was saying that when the reveal of the engineer happens, it's going to be like really shocking and, you know, nerds are going to go wild or something like along those lines. So I don't think this is the character that we're supposed to meet yet.
Well, let's be brutally honest. If it's not John Krasinski as Reed
first Richards, Krasinski, and second of all, I still maintain it's not Reed Richards. It's yeah. Adam Brashear, the Blue Marvel. And if you go to my blog and you look up the Blue Marvel, aka Adam Brashear, you will see my fabulous fan casts for that amazing character. So.
Well, the anyway. Rest of the internet doesn't care what you want. They want that John guy as Reed Richards.
Well, they can suck it because I don't care about Reed Richards. The only character I care about in the Fantastic Four is Jack Kirby personified, and that's Ben Grimm. Because as previously mentioned, I am desperate for representation.
Well, keep in mind, Reed Richards opens the door for Fantastic Four when they go into the reboot.
Yeah, but do we have to start the ball rolling here? Like, they can do it in another thing. Like,
you don't know what route they're going yet.
I know,
because there's still the theory that they can go the route that, you know, that Wanda gives up her powers or she becomes like a mutant or something like that.
Yeah, like, first of all, you can't give up your, first of all, no, that's a ridiculous theory. Whoever thought of that, wrong. Yeah, second of all, I actually had a conversation with Ben, one of our co-hosts from Voices from the Grid about this, because I actually really, really, I have issues with various Wanda mutant theories. Let's talk about it at the end. Remind me. Ben mutant theories. Okay. So Vision tries again with Darcy and manages to wake her up by distracting her with a mime. The one time having a mime was actually helpful. So I don't think that's ever happened ever. But anyway, they steal the funnel truck and they basically, Wanda says that everything is falling apart and she can't fix it. But then we have the interviewer's voice coming through and asks her if this is what she deserves. And I'm like, is this first of all, I was like, what the heck? And my first note here before I finish the episode, because I take notes as I watch the episode, not afterwards, is this the beekeeper's voice? And then obviously I find out it's not, but it is a male voice that asks this. We still don't know what happened to that beekeeper guy.
He's around. He's beekeeping somewhere.
He's underground. He is the mole man. Yeah, there you go. Fantastic Four connection. Anyway. So then we have our obligatory commercial break, which is a commercial for an antidepressant called the Nexus. This is funny because, first of all, because it's sort of like, it'll keep you grounded to your reality and things like that, because a Nexus being is sort of like the core energy personified that is connected to their specific realm and world or whatever. But Wanda is one of the Nexus beings in the Marvel Universe. So it's really interesting that this is being brought up. So anyway, the Nexus anchors you to your reality. But what's interesting is that a Nexus being can manipulate probability and they can also manipulate time. Keep that in mind. So as a Nexus being, Wanda could basically manipulate time, so she could essentially like hide Billy and Tommy to the point where in a different point in the time stream, so that by the time we meet them, it would make sense for them to be like adults a la Cassie and Kate. I have so many theories, my brain, I can't. Anyway, moving on. So Agnes is with the boys and Billy is petting Senior Scratchy. And I actually noticed something really funny about Senior Scratchy when we get to the end. And basically he's like, I like it here. And Agnes is like, oh, that's great. I'm happy. And like, why do you like it here? And is it because you're petting Senior Scratchy? And Billy's like, no, because it's quiet here. And I'm like, oh God. Oh crap. No, Billy, you shouldn't have told her that. And Agatha gets this funny look on her face. And then Tommy asks her if mommy's like if there's something wrong with mommy. But here's the thing. This proves my theory. Agnes isn't brainwashed like everybody else. She's awake, which means what Vision did nothing. And because Billy said he could hear voices in his head, he's hearing all of the people who are trapped in their own minds. Except Agatha, because there's nothing trapped. Ooh, this woman. Okay. Let's see. So Monica, meanwhile, back in the outside world, Monica puts on her cute little spacesuit. She gets into her cute little vehicle and she does not make it through the barrier. She tries whatever shenanigans she put with this vehicle didn't quite work the way she intended to, partially because Darcy wasn't there to, like, I guess, verify some of the specs or whatever. Oh, something very important that I forgot to mention earlier. When Wu and Monica are on their way to rendezvous with these folks, Wu receives the last email that Darcy sent, which proves my other theory that Hayward was in fact looking to make weaponizing Vision. He was trying to turn him back on and make him a sentient weapon. Which makes perfect sense because we mentioned Hayward was hella suspicious. So this makes a lot of sense. And it's like, oh, Wanda, and Wu asked the question of like, does Wanda know? I'm like, it's not obvious. Like obviously a sketchy government facility that has Vision is totally gonna just decommission him. Uh-huh, yeah. So, but we also don't know A, how Wanda found out where Vision was, or what she knows, or how everything happened even really still. So I wonder if we're going to get, based on other trailers, I think we're going to get some form of flashback to show how this world came to be. So we shall see. But it's kind of important to know. So anyway, Monica says, screw the vehicle, and just goes into the barrier, even though, as we know, last episode, we were told she couldn't do it because her biology, her cells were being rewritten. And as she goes through the barrier, it's actually really cool. We get voices from Maria, from Captain Marvel, from Fury about saying things like, oh, like when you learn how to, when you can glow like she does, you can come with us. And things about her being a tough kid and things like that. And all of this is playing in her head. And then as she makes it through the different layers of the barrier, which no, the barrier is kind of bluish, purplish. And then you have Wanda's red energy around it. So she makes it through and her eyes are glowing. And she's seeing all of the waves and patterns of this reality in a different light, literally. Monica's got powers! Which we all pretty much knew this was gonna happen eventually in WandaVision. It was so cool to see. I'm like, oh, Monica's got powers. The only question is, will she be Photon or will she be Spectrum? Because she can literally see the electromagnetic spectrums around her. So we will find out. This is the world we live in. Let's see, glowy-eyed Vision, Monica goes into the, okay, so Darcy fills Vision in on sort of what happened with Wanda and how she killed him, but then he told her to kill her, and then Thanos showed up and rewound time and killed Vision again, so she had to watch him die twice, and everything that, like, he doesn't know about, the life before Western, he's like, wait, so I'm based off, so like my original data is from Vision, is from Jarvis. And then my body is from Ultron. And Darcy's like, yep. Like, how do you know all of this? Was like, were the Avengers like reporting? Well, I mean, you know what? We'll just say Maria Hill. Darcy says, but Darcy also says that their love is real. And he's like, so what am I? And she's like, I'm a STEM girl. This is not my department. Monica arrives and she sort of tries to talk to Wanda and try to reach her. And they almost get in a fight. But then like Wanda sort of tosses Monica. And then Monica just like slams down. I'm like, oh, this is gonna be a thing. And then Agnes shows up. Unflipping believable. And she's like, oh, you need to leave. And is like, obviously not bothered by this because we know she's awake at this point, and just takes Wanda to her house. But Agnes is sort of intrigued by all of this when it first starts happening before she vamooses over to Wanda's house. So Agnes steps in and takes Wanda away. Vision gets a, what is, I have a weird note that is, that I, sometimes you can't read my own handwriting, so it says Vision gets a chi, tree, chess, something. Vision basically decides, like, why am I stuck in this vehicle with Darcy? Because there's like a red light, and then there's construction, and then there's like little kids that are crossing the street. And he's like, wait a minute, this is ridiculous. And he just leaves. And Darcy's like, okay.
Well, the preface that, I mean, they're doing that whole Modern Family nonsense where he's like talking. And it's like, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if this was all Wanda just trying to stall me. So, like, he openly admits that this was probably a ploy just to prevent him from getting home to Wanda.
I think it is a ploy to keep him from getting home to Wanda, but I don't think it's Wanda's ploy.
Yeah.
So.
But like, in Vision's head.
Yeah, no, for sure.
He thinks it. You know.
So Agnes takes Wanda to her house, and my first thought is, like, where are the kids? And Wanda sits down on the couch, and she sees there's two cups and two plates with sandwiches, and she asks the same question I did. Where are the twins? And Agnes is the totally not sketchy thing, like, oh, they're playing in the basement! I'm like, girl, you don't have kids. What the heck kind of basement do you have?
Well, that's a great question, because when you walk into this basement, this is a basement that I wouldn't even want to play in.
Legit. So it starts off as like this kind of an eerie, unfinished basement sort of look. And then as Wanda goes deeper into the basement, it turns into a castle basement, castle catacombs kind of a thing. And there's like all of this things glowing red. And I have a note here that says Castle Doom. I have zero recollection of writing about it. It's probably not Castle Doom, but I found that it ignited my like Children's Crusade reaction. Like, oh, it's a castle. It's Doctor Doom. But the basement has this like stone tunnel that leads into these like catacombs. And then there's this creepy ass book that just looks so like chaos magic-y, Shaitan-y, Mephisto-y. Insert random evil bad guy demonic person here. Although Mephisto doesn't never has a magic book, Shaitan does, so they could be blending the two. But then the big reveal comes and la gasp! Agnes is actually Agatha Harkness. And I gotta say, I knew she was Agatha. I was 100% convinced. But that reveal was so well done. Her hair is different. She's like creepily holding the bunny. And I'm like, didn't you have a cat in the comics? And then we find out in what is a lyrical theme song a la the Munsters is that it was Agatha all along. Like she literally arrived to town right before she walked into Wanda's house. She was the one that was manipulating Senior Scratchy or something on stage when Wanda and Vision did their magic act. She sent Pietro, or not Pietro. And I was right. She killed Sparky too. That evil witch. But I love the song. It was Agatha all along. Like, I just want to listen to that. Like, I think that was like my favorite song out of all of the films so far. Like, out of all of the songs that we've had in the show. Like, this one and the 1960s WandaVision song, A La Bewitched. Those are the two best ones, I think. But anyway, so, ooh, gosh. That's just creepy. Oh, also something to note is Agatha also is the one that woke Ralph when she arrived. Remember when we were talking about episode 3 when Wanda gave birth to the twins and how Ralph was acting very suspiciously? He glitched, quote unquote. And then Agatha showed up and woke him up. So either he's in on it in part or he's in on it now or something sketchy is going on. But the episode basically ends here. But Monica comes to, but we get an after credit scene, our first after credit, mid credit scene, I should say. And it's Monica basically following Wanda to Agnes's house. And she opens up the basement doors and there's like weird purple energy, which we know that Agatha has the purple colored magic, which also explains like she must have done something to the barrier too, because there's sense of purple there too. But then Snoop's gonna Snoop is hipster Pietro shows up. And then this is where the episode ends. So I have so many theories. My brain is like exploding. So first of all, the magic book is, first of all, actually, let's say this. Agnes is the first outside force in this reality. I think her presence helped facilitate other things that we will probably find out about in the next episode, because next episode will probably open on Agatha doing her best evil, like, bad guy impression. Although, funny enough, she's not evil in the comics. But do you know who's evil?
Batman?
No. Her son, Nicholas Scratch. Who, first of all, created the Salem Seven, which is like a coven of, like, I guess they're like hybrid witches or something. Let me see here. I have the wiki up. It's a group of magically mutated superhumans. Ain't that funny? But also Nicholas Scratch, Senior Scratchy, seems a little too perfect. Like I mentioned, the color of the hex has that purplish tint, so Agatha had to have done something. I think the things that Wanda didn't know about, like Pietro showing up, and the other things that she couldn't explain how they were happening were probably in part due to Agatha. Hopefully except the twins. But that leaves the question, what did she do to my twins? That is like my only source of anxiety this episode.
She sprinkled some fairy dust on them and they flew to Neverland.
They better be asleep, because I need my wholesome Jewish superhero representation with Billy at some point. Like, I need it. So like, I need an explanation. Also something to note is that when Monica comes to Agnes's house, we actually see Dottie. We get a little speck of Dottie and she's sort of looking at like, what's going on? So it does make me wonder if Agatha's coven is somehow involved. And the reason I mentioned Colorado is that Agatha is the founder of New Salem, which is a magical community that is in Colorado. So very interesting. Agatha's son, also is actually does have a connection to the Fantastic Four, because I think he kidnapped Franklin Richards at one point. He possessed or tried to possess Franklin, but he got denounced basically. So my guess is like maybe Agatha, he did something in the time that Agatha exists in, and then she punished him by turning him into a rabbit. But it says that he did get sent to hell at one point, where he made an alliance with Mephisto. But there is also one other point to this. There is something called the Shuma-Gorath that is also involved with Nicholas Scratch, because he wanted to release this being called the Shuma-Gorath, which is just like an eyeball with tentacles. But it's significant because he's tied to chaos magic, which is something, a power that Wanda has. Wanda is like, has a lot of powers depending on plot convenience. But it says here that he's a powerful, sometimes stated to be omnipotent, ancient demon that possesses vast supernatural powers and is stated to be the archetypal class 3 demon. He's considered to be one of the primal powers of chaos. And then there's also something about him being from a demon dimension or something like that, or maybe I'm confusing people, but this is kind of crazy. Like, my brain is exploding. I definitely think this episode, I know Michael said, you said it wasn't like your favorite episode. I agree, but I think it wasn't a very important episode for all of the reasons that I'm outlining here.
Oh, no, I'm not saying it's not an important episode. It's just, fuck Modern Family.
Yeah, I like I think when kids talk to the camera, it's one thing. Like when Billy did it, it was kind of cute.
But that was because the way Malcolm in the Middle did it back in the night, like, because
it was like in scene.
Yeah,
literally like talking to somebody, like Deadpool was, and then turns to the camera and says, "Can you believe this guy?" Whereas in Modern Family, they're just like constantly talking to a
camera. Do you know what the real problem is with Modern Family and like The Office?
The characters are all really unlikable.
No, when they do that whole talking to the camera thing, do what they're trying to parody? The Real World.
I don't know what that is.
Remember, it might still be a TV show on MTV. It was like a thing where all these people just lived in a house together and they did like real world challenges. And what they would always do is they'd always talk into the camera because it was a reality TV show.
So it's trying to be a sitcom and a reality TV. That's so much worse.
But with the reality TV elements of like the interview with the cameraman and stuff like that. And it's like, it just doesn't work. It's just really shitty.
Yeah, I'm not a fan. I never got into Modern Family. I never really connected with the characters really well. But I'm also like, I don't really watch sitcoms. I don't know what has happened to American sitcoms in the last 30 years, 20-year-ish plus years. Nearly 30, well, 20-ish years. But it's just, they're not funny. Like I really enjoyed Schitt's Creek. It's not funny, but I really enjoyed it because the characters were really interesting and like the storylines were funny, but it wasn't funny, you know? I laughed maybe twice a season. And as anybody listening to this podcast know, like I love laughter. I love comedy. I love Mel Brooks. Like it's a shame that like for some reason they seem to rely on like gimmicks more than comedy. Like write good jokes, don't write just slapstick or like what do we call it? Like secondhand embarrassment humor. Like tell real stories but with jokes. Like it's not that hard. I don't know. But anyway, mutants and Wanda Maximoff. So we talked about this a little bit when we did where Sasha was very unhappy, which was our second season of me ranting about, mostly ranting about the X-Men films. And one of the things that I said very, very early on was that the X-Men were, or mutants in general, were created as an allegory for marginalized groups. It's basically, if you have ever been marginalized, if you've ever been othered, if you were ever a minority in any community, in any city, any state, any country, you could identify with the X-Men and with mutants and the things that they went through. Because the things that they went through were things that Jews went through, things that African-Americans went through, things that the LGBT community has gone through. This like being othered, being seen as non-human, being shunned, being hurt and attacked and eviscerated, whether by governments or by your own neighbors. And turning Wanda into the mother of all mutants, in my opinion, is really unfair to the vastness of that allegory. The problem being, though, that you still have to reintroduce mutants into the MCU. And there is not going to be a way to do it that is not going to leave a plot hole. There's just not, unless Wanda like literally rewrites the fabric of time and I don't know, worlds collide or something happens. Like there's going to be issues with everything. What you could do is either say that mutants have been there the entire time, which is not perfect, but is plausible because we have only seen very specific fractions of the Marvel Cinematic Universe and only from specific perspectives. We don't know half the crap that SHIELD did for all the years they were on operation in between World War II ending and, you know, getting the helicarriers getting destroyed by Steve and Sam. So it's possible. The other way to do it is to either say that destruction of the Infinity Stones caused a ripple effects that caused the Earth to sort of have to overcompensate, and that changed the very fabric of reality of time and space, leading to the creation of mutants in a natural form. Or you, and this one, but again, that still leaves holes. You could say that the second snap or in between the snap, because there was less humans, evolution took over and that caused mutants and the X gene to activate. Still leaves problems for like mutants like Apocalypse or Magneto or even Namor, since they would have existed before this time. So there is no perfect way to do it. I usually don't like that, oh, they were there the entire time shenanigan, but in this case I actually don't think it's that far-fetched, there's a lot of stuff that the average human does not know about. And it's entirely, like, there can be little hints throughout history. You know, enhanced people existed in, you know, Steve was a super soldier. If he was a super soldier, there could have been, like, other shenanigans. Because, again, we saw World War II only from Steve's perspective and only on the specific mission of having to stop Hydra, right? So there could have been so many other things going on. So there are ways to do it. There are ways to really incorporate. I think you'd have to do, like, this some kind of epic flashback of, like, the one lowly historian of the Marvel Universe who has to, like, who pieces it all together somehow. But X-Men Evolution did it really well, in my opinion, which granted it was the era before the internet took off, but they did a good job with explaining how mutants had to stay hidden, why mutants had to stay hidden, and then the catalyst of them being revealed and how that happened. So is there a perfect solution? No, my friends, but nothing that Marvel does is going to make everybody happy, and no explanation that they give is going to be satisfying to certain fans. But you cannot turn Wanda into the mother of all mutants. You can't just make her snap her fingers and create mutants. That's just a really bad idea. You can have, like, they already undid the No More Mutants in the X-Men comics currently, but, and I get the whole, I think, like, it's clever, like, oh, it's a reverse House of M, haha, instead of No More Mutants, she'll create mutants, but it cheapens the allegory.
That's because of the whole thing with Fox, because any character that was created in the comic books would automatically be given rights to Fox to put into a movie, and they didn't want to do that anymore.
And like, I think that they could have found a better way around that than what they did. Like, instead of just, like, depowering half the mutant population, they could have just, like, stuck with the mutants they already had and just not created any new ones. But fine, whatever. My point being, though, in all of this is that the mutants are supposed to be, if you believe the Eric Lenscher version, is that the mutants are the next step in human evolution. They're naturally occurring. That, you know, some people will hit puberty and their X gene will activate and they will become mutants and gain power. Some people were even born mutants already, like Nightcrawler. So I think they are still an important and relevant allegory, and I would not want it to, I feel like it's too easy then to say, like, oh, mutants are natural. Look, it was caused by Wanda, even if they don't know. I mean, assuming they know. It's just, it destroys the entire point of the allegory that these were just people with powers that happened naturally. They weren't aliens. They weren't half aliens. They didn't get powers by falling into a vat of toxic waste. They're just natural. They're normal. And that's a really important thing. Mike, meanwhile, has the IMDb updated any fun trivia notes? I feel like I got everything. I've been talking straight for, like, however long this episode ends up being.
Nothing yet.
All right, well, I'm sure it'll update. I think I got most of the interesting things, the Nexus, the Stan Lee thing. What else? Monica getting powers is really important. I'm sure there's other, like, numerical things that popped up that I didn't notice. That book looked extra creepy villainy, though. Like, it's like every generic, and this is not a bad thing, this is not harping on it, but it looked like every generic evil villain's cookbook. Like you open it up and there's gonna be a whole bunch of demons and evil spells that will turn people into toads and murder the world. Which leads me to an interesting theory that I came up with that, like, Agatha wants Wanda to harness the power of the chaos magic because she's a Nexus being or through something like that in order to do something. She looks pretty villainy, so I don't know. But my biggest priority is please, 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 Marvel, don't hurt my twins. Just get them to the Kaplans, and that's all I need right now. Just get them to the Kaplans where they can be safe and grow up happy and Jewish. So with that, Michael, sleepy poor Michael, where can the people find you on those pesky social medias?
Well, it's not that pesky for me because nobody ever talks to me, so.
See, I'm the one that gets all of the fun hate mail.
Yeah. No, nobody ever talks to me. No, nobody messages me. I may have that one person occasionally talking smack about me, but has me blocked at the same time. But anyways, you can find me on Twitter at @TheLindenBaum75, Facebook at facebook.com/x75productions, Twitch at twitch.tv/TheMichaelX75, and crying in the fetal position at all times. I mean, on the website at txhthockey.com, and for this show, specific nerdy-notions.
And you can find my lovely, fabulous self primarily on geekgirl101.tumblr.com. Yes, I'm on Tumblr. Yes, that is where I get all my hate mail. But it is also the place where I am the most active, and that is where you can read all of the theories that I forget to post on Twitter. And then you can find me on Twitter at Geeky Kaplan in honor of the best Jewish space Merlin, Billy Kaplan. And of course, geekycaptainwrites.wordpress.com for any movie comic book reviews that have not been updated in a while. But if you'd like to know more about the twins and you forgot to read up about them previously, please check out the guide that Ardatley and I have written. It's really, really good. There's lots of pictures and lots of comic book panels, so you can know everything you need to know about these two beautiful boys for when Young Avengers comes out. So with that, thank you so much for listening. Kirby, help us all for next week. And we'll see you then.